gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100 yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast Show. I'm your co-host, Eric, and I'm always joined by my co-host, Ron. What a run.
What's going on?
You know what we do. We talk about the NFL. And during the regular season, during the playoffs. And Ron, we just had the wild card playoff. I know your team got ousted, but how you feel right now? What are you having, same emotions that you had the last 5 years? Like, where are you right now? Mentally, where are you right now?
Listen, we're 3 days removed from the beatdown the Ravens just gave us. I'm going through all the emotions, starting off with like extreme anger to extreme disappointment to now I'm at just acceptance at this point. We'll talk more when we go through the game, but I'm at this point just accepting our fate. This is what it's going to be for the Steelers for the next
until they make a change.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to have the NFL news. We'll do a quick recap of the wild card weekend, and then we'll have our divisional rounds picks. By the way, this is episode 116. So, Ron, let's start with the news. And, of course, I had to put this on the top of the news. Brabel got hired. And I think you said it best. This is very, very hopeful. This is, I don't know what word to describe when you go beyond hopeful, but this is what they should have done last year, in my opinion. But I guess the Crafts had to keep a promise. They kept it, and then they got the right guy. So what do you think? I think that this is going to amount to more than 4 victories, for sure.
I don't know. And I saw the teams that they play next year. Certainly, I think the Patriots are headed in a better direction than where they're at. But you and I talked before about just the state of the NFL and, you know, who's the best person to lead your team. Is it an offensive-minded coach or is it a defensive-minded coach? Is it someone that, you know, with experience or someone without, you know, that's kind of trying to get their foot wet? I was kind of hoping, to be honest with you, just given like Drake May being there, him needing someone that he could trust to develop him, that they would lean towards like Ben Johnson and give him a chance just to do something out of the box, do something different. But Brabel was always going to be the guy, I think, like you said. There was no secret. He probably knew this weeks ago. I'm sure he did. And regardless, I think, you know, I think he's going to do a good job. It may take a little bit longer for things to come in, to get shaped, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I think Brabel will fix the defense right away. But, you know, I think, you know, give them 3-4 years and you're looking at a team that can contend for the playoffs again.
Wait. Because I gave you the schedule for next year. What are you unsure of? Why doesn't 4 wins, you don't think so? Do you want me to go over the schedule for you?
4 wins? Yeah, I can see 4 wins.
Yeah,
I can see six wins.
More than 4.
No, yeah. I think they'll get to 6 wins potentially, but
yeah,
you know, if
sky's the limit. Sky's the limit.
You were talking about 8 wins, you know, in our
possibly
in our chat.
Wins. Let me go over the schedule for you, because for some reason you overlooked this. Are they better?
I'm not overlooking it. I'm looking at the schedule right now,
and it's there are teams that don't even have a coach right now on this list.
Yeah, I get that, but all these teams will look different next year, right? Don't you agree?
Not different. Not do the Saints have a quarterback right now? No. The Browns, no. The Raiders, O'Connell, really? Better than Drake May? I don't think so. Who knows what's going to happen with Miami? Tennessee Titans, they don't have a quarterback. So it's, I mean, I'm just saying that it's not a disappointment, but it's going to be, the wins are going to be there. And I think he said the right things in the press conference. He said one thing that he said in particular, he said, we're going to try to get wins against bad football. And that's what we're looking at in the schedule for next year. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to play bad football. And he even said, we're going to take advantage of that. So that, I know that he's, to me, that sounds like a Bill Belichick kind of mentality where situational football, is the other team going to make the right decision? That's what he's going to take advantage of. Not, the roster is not going to be ready by next year, for sure.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I don't think it's going to be ready for a couple of years to really compete with some of the better teams. But just going back to what you were saying about what rosters look like right now and some of the teams you talk about not having a quarterback, I can assure you that like a year ago, right, we're looking at like the Commanders. No one thought they'd have like Jaden Daniels and he'd be this good and they'd be sitting in the playoff heading to the divisional game at this point. You know, I'm not saying that that's going to be the case for New Orleans or Tennessee or any of the teams that you rattled off. But, you know, things change quickly in this league, you know, through free agency, draft picks, coaching changes. You know, teams can be much better and show, you know, a lot of improvement. A lot of improvement, by the way, can be two or three games. That's a good amount of improvement from one year to the next. So, you know, I'm just saying the teams that you rattled off, the Saints, even the Saints, you know, they had some games where they were competitive. You know, yeah, their record may not have shown it, but they're not an easy win next year, regardless of who plays quarterback for them. And the way things are headed with the Raiders, I think that's one team you mentioned as well. I could see them, you know, bringing in like a Pete Carroll to coach that team. I could see them drafting.
Already turned it down. He's not going to coach the Raiders. He already
turned
it down.
They'll bring somebody and they'll most likely end up with Deion Sanders' kid at quarterback. I'm not saying he's going to turn it to be, you know, Jaden Daniels. He's not, but I think at the end of the day, let's wait until we get to July, when we have the official rosters and we can see, okay, how good are these teams really before we start committing to 8 or 9 wins? 6, maybe.
Committing, Ron. I'm just saying that the state of mind that you're in right now, I know your team got whooped not even 2 days ago. I'm saying that there's hope at the light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely.
I don't know what the over and under is going to be. I'm just looking at the schedule and I'm saying that this year, they only won one home game. I'm saying there's multiple victories at home that I can already see. And this is just wonderful news. Even the press conference compared to 12 months ago when Mayo wasn't in, they kept asking Mayo football questions and he couldn't answer them because they didn't know what the mentality, what the culture was he was bringing. He couldn't even express it in words. So there was already doubt from day one. Like, can this guy do it?
Yeah.
We know Brabel can do the job. We've seen it. He has experience. He knows how to talk to the press. He knows how to talk to players. You think Brabel is going to be in the back of a plane playing cards after a loss? You think Brabel is going to not know how to discipline players when there's a fumble, when they do a 15-yard personal foul? And you know, I'm saying that things are going to improve. Things are going to improve. That's what I'm saying.
I definitely agree. It's an improvement, without a doubt. Is it what they need? That, to me, is still open for debate. Because as good as Vrabel has been, he was available for a reason, right? He did get fired 2 years ago from Tennessee. You know, Tennessee. So, you know, I'm not saying it won't work out. I think he's a good coach. I think he'll bring some of the right people along with him to bring in that culture that you're looking for. I think, just based on how the Steelers season has gone the last couple of years, it really takes a competent quarterback like play, right? And being able to communicate and develop a quarterback for things to work out. Because if that doesn't work, doesn't matter how good your defense is, you know, once you have 4 or 5 losses, 2 or 3 losses in a row, you know, then all of a sudden your defense doesn't play as well, or they don't play as hard because there's no hope for the quarterback, you know, play and stuff like that. So, you know, that things can change quickly. I personally, like I said, I think I would have went with Ben Johnson, but Vrabel gives them that, certainly the experience at a head coaching position that they were needing.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And speaking of head coaches, are the Cowboys going to get Sanders to coach, or is this just smoke?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know what Deion wants. I would imagine if he wants the job, he can have it. You know, I couldn't tell you what he wants. He has a real good thing going at Colorado. He's making decent money. Obviously, he can make more in the NFL. But he's turned that program around. And I think, you know, he's going to obviously have this opportunity with Dallas now. But if he stays patient, he could have additional opportunities down the road. So I don't know if this is the position the team he wants to go to. There are rumors and speculation about the Raiders too there, and I, you know, those have been denied as well. So, you know, I don't know. But what I do know is that I think he's open, you know, to the NFL, the possibility of coaching in the NFL, despite what he said before. But, you know, if I was to predict what's going to happen, I think he'll end up leaving, to be honest. I think he's going to leave. I think he is going to take that Dallas job. And the reason I'm saying that is just because how things went with McCarthy the last, like, week, 2 weeks or whatever. Keep in mind that McCarthy had a chance to interview Cowboys that declined it. Then all of a sudden, now they moved on from him. So something must have changed within the last week and a half. If you declined, you know, your coach from interviewing, I would imagine that you, at that point, were planning on bringing him back, McCarthy, next year. And then if you all of a sudden make the move to make a switch, I imagine you have somebody lined up already. That's just my gut feeling, but I'm totally guessing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he does end up taking probably this Dallas job, if not another NFL job that comes open, because it's, to me, it's part of his brand, right? He worked his way through black college. Now he's in Colorado's, which is a Division I college. And now the next step up will be for him to be in the NFL. Now, if he does take up the Cowboys' job, does that make them contenders?
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's one thing to lead kids that have nothing but admiration for you. And, you know, when you're like 18, 19, 20 years old, you know, they have no other choice, but for the most part, but to listen to you. There's a lot of hype around it. Obviously, there's a lot of money now, NIL and stuff like that, with what's going on around. NFL is a completely different story. Those guys are already making millions of dollars. Yeah, there might be some players who would want to go play for him. But I don't necessarily think, especially when it comes to like X's and O's, especially when it comes to real competition. You saw how Colorado did when they played real competition. You know, it's completely different in the NFL. Every team is, you know, you can win or you can lose. It doesn't matter who you play. So, you know, I don't think it comes automatically with success, though.
Well, the next one, it's not, well, then it'll be, you know, it'll be the transition to the recap, but last night's game, Rams against Vikings. Sam Darnold, if you were the Vikings, would you give him an extension?
Probably not. think he played extremely well throughout the entire season. And then the last couple weeks, he, for whatever reason, turned into a shell of himself. So just listen to what, you know, the coaches have said, a lot of media have said. He just drafted a quarterback last year, McCarthy, in the first round. I see them moving on from Darnold, and trying to make it work, you know, with the rookie or second year player next year. So, you know, I think Darnold though will land on his feet somewhere for sure. I think he'll go to another team with a chance to compete for a starting job. I don't think he's going to end up like commanding like a, you know, $50 million salary or anything like that. It'll probably be like 30, 35 million, somewhere around that Baker Mayfield type contract. But, you know, I don't see him, and I could be wrong, you know, I don't see him returning to the Vikings.
Now, his success, was it due to Kevin O'Connell, or was it due to the fact that he finally figured out after like his fourth, third team, he finally figured out that he's a good quarterback? Or is this just something that was a one-year thing that he's not going to repeat it again?
It's hard to say, but I think the talent is there. It's always been there. The situation he was in before, I mean, no quarterback would have succeeded in New York, right? With the Jets ownership and like their coaches and stuff like that. I think Kevin O'Connell is a great coach. I've told you this before. I think he's one of the best coaches in the NFL. I think his play calling is amazing. So I do think like this scheme system has a lot to do with it. I think you can put a lot of quarterbacks in that system and make them look really good, especially when you're throwing to guys like Jefferson and Addison. So there are a lot of good things around him. It probably covered up some of his deficiencies as a quarterback. But it doesn't mean that he's going to go somewhere else and like fall off the cliff either. I think he probably learned a lot, you know, in Minnesota. And if he can be surrounded with talent and have a good coaching system, he'll be okay. But at the same time, I think you saw some of his limitations too when he starts to play good teams. I think you kind of understand what his ceiling is, and maybe teams might say, okay, there's other options. They may rather go with someone with like more potential.
Yeah, and plus I think Daniel Jones was technically his backup, right? So you basically have two.
And Jones might not be there next year either. I could see him moving on too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if McCarthy's going to be ready for the season. Has that come out yet? He's on schedule. I know.
Oh yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. I know that the Vikings, they won 14 games in that division, which was a hard division, but I don't know. Do you bring him back? I mean, let's talk about the wild card week, because that game was fresh in our minds. Do you blame Sam Darnold? Do you blame Kevin O'Connell for that loss? Do you say it was the Rams were extra motivated because of the wildfires? I mean, why do you think that they laid an egg last night?
I think it was it's like all of the above. One, I think the Rams played really good defense, and I think we need to give them credit for playing good defense and recognize that their defense is playing a lot better this year compared to like previous seasons. The other thing is there's truth to Sam Darnold not playing well, right? It looked like he was seeing ghosts, right? He was bailing from a clean pocket, just extremely anxious back there, missing throws badly.
Holding on to the ball.
Yeah, holding on to the ball way, way too long. It looked like he was panicking, if you will. So I think that was part of it too. I do think the play calling was a little bit just questionable too, even though I just said, how the coach calls plays. I think, especially in the fourth quarter, it's like, okay, you're down a lot. Let's not run the ball as much. We need to pass the ball. Let's make it easy. Don't like look for deep routes when this guy has like is panicking out back there. Let's try to get some quick throws, get his confidence back up, just easy completions, and get, you know, moving the ball, play with some pace. I thought he dialed up like too many, you know, plays where Donald had to take like 5 and 7 step drops and had to scan the field for, you know, and look at go through his progression. And, you know, that didn't work. You know, it was a lot of pressure, or there was some pressure and he was panicking and it didn't work. So I think the play calling could have made it a little bit easier for him too, in that game. So I think there's blame to go all around. But I, you know, Darnold didn't play well, but I don't think you just say, okay, Darnold didn't play well, that's the reason they lost. No, Rams played pretty damn good defense too. Yeah, Rams offense was pretty good. Stafford was brilliant, as he's been, you know. So you got to give them credit as well.
Yeah, and I thought that the offensive line was not very sharp. And I also thought that they shut down Jefferson pretty good. Well, there was a couple of plays that it was Sam Darnold that just didn't find the man wide open. But Jefferson was sometimes double team. They just had a good game plan for this game. And hats off to McVay. He kind of knew what was happening. He knew the moment. He knew how to run the offense. The only thing that, do you think that the Vikings got robbed on that fumble?
Absolutely. That was a terrible call. And that could have been, it was probably a huge game changer, right? You know, given the situation, the time that was left on the clock, Minnesota really needed that. And I think they were robbed of a touchdown. You know, but you gotta, in the NFL, listen, refs, officials blow calls all the time. You gotta be able to overcome those things. So, yeah, the call was bad, but you still got to go out there and execute, do your part. You mentioned Jefferson being open and Darnold missing him. Darnold also missed Addison on a deep pass that they could have connected on for a long touchdown. So there were opportunities. They just missed out on
them. Yeah.
But that's the NFL, right? And that is playoff football, right? Those NFL playoffs, the game of inches. Think back to like Garoppolo in San Francisco. He was like 5 inches from winning a Super Bowl if he just makes that one throw, right? And he missed it. And had he made that one play, 49ers win, but they lost. So that's the great thing about football. So they had their chances, missed out, blew it, you know, and they're just like a lot of other teams now searching for answers for next season.
All right, so let's move on to the other wild card games, and let's go to the Los Angeles Chargers at Houston. You had them winning 20-17. I had them winning 21-17. The Chargers were, but Houston won 32-12.
Yeah.
Are you shocked, Ron, that Houston came out and actually won this game?
I'm not shocked that they won. I'm shocked that they dominated the game. I'm shocked that how bad the quarterback played, Herbert, how bad he played. I'm shocked that Chargers could not execute the running game, get that going at all. You know, that's basically what it came down to, right? Herbert, with his, how many interceptions? 4 interceptions, 3 interceptions, whatever it was. Them not running the ball. That was the difference, you know. And Houston, I think C.J. Stroud made some okay plays. Nico Collins is amazing. And that was the other thing I didn't understand. The Chargers defense not doubling. It was not like they had any other options in Houston. So that didn't make any sense to me why you would continue to allow him to be covered one-on-one. But, you know, I'm shocked at the score, not necessarily the result.
Yeah, I mean, when they were up 6-0, I think at halftime or after the first quarter, I just didn't have good vibes at all, because they were letting Houston hang around. hang around. There were some missed opportunities by Herbert in the first half. And, you know, I really saw Houston get the momentum. And then when they scored all those points and Herbert had such a terrible game, they just don't have the firepower to actually come back when they're down. The Chargers, yeah. They don't.
And I'm looking at the box score now. So J.K. Dobbins for the Chargers, 9 rushes, 26 yards. Gus Edwards, 7 rushes, 22 yards. So, you know, between the two of them, you're looking at like a 2.9, 3.0 yard per carry. That's not going to get it done. On the other side, though, you got Mixon. What a huge addition he's been, right? 25 carries, 106 yards, and a touchdown. So you got to have a running game. You know, when you get to this year, you know, this time of the season, and like I said, you know, Chargers needed to lean more on the running game, but it did not work out that way.
And the only reason why I chose that Houston Chargers game was because that was the only game, Ron, that I got wrong over the weekend. Every other game, I got the right team to win. So let's look at that Denver at Buffalo. You had the Denver. This was your upset of the weekend, basically.
I know.
Had them winning 33-30. You thought it was going to be a shootout? I had them.
It looked like it, didn't it?
Yes.
After the first five minutes.
The final score was 7-31. I had Denver losing 21-24. So what happened with Denver, Ron? Why, after that first play, they went up, they went up deep, they got 7 points, and then after that, they didn't score again?
Yeah. I don't know. It was after that first play, I was like, yeah, I knew. I was just feeling like, you know, Denver came to play. They were going to pull out all stops. They're going to do some trick plays, which I think they did. They did a fake punt, if I remember right. I thought they were going to do whatever it took to stay in the game and make it competitive and pull off an upset. But it was over quickly. Like you said, after that first touchdown, they couldn't manage anything beyond that. And again, the running game, Javonte Williams, 7-29, you know, Tyler Batty, 2-8, you know, and then you got Bo Nix running 4 times for 43, but no running game whatsoever. Nix didn't play well. He was extremely inefficient. And then Buffalo just did its thing. James Cook, again, running game, 23-120, you know, and a touchdown. So big difference. Both these games talk about running the ball. Team that ran well won the game. Team that didn't lost.
And now, and looking at that game, or at least the highlights, it looked like Denver defense got pushed around by Buffalo. I don't know if that was the intention, was like, hey, we're just going to run it, you can't stop us. Because that's what they did, basically. They just, 210 yards rushing. I mean, that's a slap in the face. That just means that your defense is not good enough. There was a moment where Sean Payton was yelling at the defensive coordinator for Denver, Vance, because he was like, hey, are you going to stop this running game at any time?
Yeah. I wonder if Vance said, hey, are you going to score more than 7 points? You know, are you going to score again? You know, listen, to win football games, it's, you can't win on one side of the ball. You got to win on all sides, right? Defense, offense, special team. And everything was a failure, you know, for Denver. They didn't play well enough defensively. They didn't score at all outside of that first quarter, like you mentioned. So, honestly, they just don't have the talent. The talent, you know, they have some good starters for sure. There's no depth, though, on that team at any position, I don't think. So I think there's a talent gap for sure between those two teams.
Yeah, and I think with Denver, they'll be back. I mean, they'll restock and they'll find out, well, where do we need to multiply our players or whatever the case might be. to me, they'll get better, but for now, Buffalo just owned them on Saturday. Sunday. So the next game was Green Bay at Philadelphia. You had Philly winning 26-20. I had them winning 24-17. The final score was 22-10. Was there anything shocking about Green Bay that they only scored 10 points?
No, Watson. Green Bay was limited with not having weapons. Love has been hurt the entire season. I didn't think they had a chance going into the game to win, to be honest with you. So I like, that Jacobs, they kind of stuck with him to try to keep it close, but, they just didn't have anything. The receiver position, passing game to keep up with Philly.
Yeah, I mean, Love with 3 interceptions, kind of like the Herbert, but with Love, we know he wasn't 100% from the get-go. Herbert is a different story because I don't think he has yet to won a playoff game. So it's just, it's kind of disappointing, but we kind of saw it coming, right? Especially against Philadelphia and the defense that they have. So, it was a good effort, but not in the playoffs. It's not going to work. Were you impressed by what Philadelphia did to Green Bay, or were you just like, no, they're just a better team?
I think they're a better team. I thought they played well. I think they have what it takes to win a Super Bowl. Now you got to go out, though, and do it a better competition, right? So I think they'll, and we'll get to our predictions for this week, I think they'll move on. But when it gets to like teams like the Detroit, I want to see what you can do against them if you can make it there.
The Sunday night game was Washington at Tampa Bay. You had Tampa Bay winning this one 31-28. This was my upset. I had Washington winning 35-28. Final score was 23-20. So was this because Daniels was really, really good, or because Tampa was really, really bad?
I don't think either team was really, really bad. I just think Tampa just made a critical mistake, when they had a chance to score, and that cost them the game. That was it. It was a great game, back and forth. Tampa, to me, should have won the game, and they coughed up the ball, and that was the difference. I expected the game to be a little bit higher scoring. I think we both had them scoring in the 30s. It didn't get to that, but Baker Mayfield played well outside of that fumble. He was 15 for 18, 2 touchdowns. They ran the ball well, 17 for 77 for Bucky Urban. Again, when you're playing teams that have equal talent and they're good and you're in the playoffs, you can't make those type of mistakes. You got to execute at all times. Those things can cost you. So that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that fumble came at a critical time. They settled for field goal at the end of the game, which is never good. It's never good. And then Washington came back down and scored the field goal to win the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am really impressed by Jaden Daniels, for a rookie QB who hasn't he hasn't punted or something. I don't know. I sent you the graphic, and I was just like, wow, this is for a rookie QB doing these things. And I mean, as much as I think Drake May could get there, I think Jaden Daniels is already there. Now, this is, we said the same thing about CJ Stroud last year. So we'll wait for the sophomore year when they have actual tape of what his tendencies are. But so far, Daniels has been money.
Yeah. And so I think Daniels is really, really good. I think there's a decent amount of talent around him. I think we need to give that coordinator some credit though, right? So look at the job. Yeah, he's done throughout his, coaching career, with Kyler Murray and now with Daniels. I think there's definitely something there. It kind of goes back a little to what I was saying with Minnesota and like the system, this Minnesota system, the 49ers system. Like these coordinators have good systems that you can kind of put most good quarterbacks in and they can just look outstanding. I think that's a little bit what's happening with Daniels, but I don't want that to take away at all from like his talent either. Daniels is extremely talented. The throws that he makes are just unbelievable. And then obviously, what he can do with his feet is certainly helps as well.
It does help because, when I was watching that game, it seemed to me like Tampa Bay was blitzing a lot just to make him uncomfortable. And he knew what to do. He knew what to run. He knew when to pass it. He knew this dude is hard to get him rattled, right? And I think he was maybe playing hurt in the middle of the season, and now he's maybe back to 100%. And we'll talk about our picks. I really think that this Philly game is gonna plant a seed about who Jaden Daniels is. I really think that this game is gonna do that. All right, Ron, let's talk about your team, Pittsburgh at Baltimore. You had Pittsburgh winning 23-20. I had them losing 28-10. Final score was 28-14. So let me ask you, Ron, did you really think that this team had a chance?
I did. I honestly thought that, winning 8 out of 10 games against Baltimore, knowing that, like, down the stretch, as I talked about last week, we played 4 tough teams. The defense was starting to look a little bit better. I thought if they just cleaned some things up, changed their offensive scheme completely, which to their credit, they tried to. They came out passing. First pass, first play of the game was a pass to Brian Ruth. He drops the ball, So doesn't matter if you call the right plays if players are dropping passes. So that was disappointing to not be able to execute that first drive and have to punt the ball. They take the ball right down the field and score, starting off in a hole again, like he's done repeatedly for the past, 5 playoff games or whatever. Just, you dig yourself a hole. They're down 21-0 at half. The game was already over. And no matter what adjustments you made in the second half, the game wasn't competitive. It wasn't going to be competitive. And I think there's been a lot of talk. There was a lot of talk throughout the game, after the game, these last couple days about the Steelers. And, if you take a look back at it, like a lot of those players quit on Tomlin, especially on the defense. You give up 300 yards rushing. Guys were just going half-assed, not wanting to tackle. They quit. That's, I don't know what else to say. You can't look at the game and say that they did not quit. So, it is what it is. I don't know what else you can say at this point because nothing's going to change. He had his press conference today. He can sit there and talk about wanting to make a bunch of changes for next year. And he could, obviously there's going to be some with his coaching staff. There's definitely going to be some attrition and turnaround with his players. A lot of free agents. I don't know if they're going to bring Russell Wilson back. I don't know if they're going to bring Fields back. I doubt they'll bring Najee back. Najee looks like he wants to be out of there. He doesn't want to be there. George Pickens, there's been news about him today being late to some of the games. It was late to the Christmas game. I think he's probably going to be traded. I think they're going to look a lot different next year, but unfortunately, I think the results are going to be the same. And until he leaves,
Until Tomlin leaves?
Yeah, it's more or less the same. it's gonna be the same next year. So if I was the owner, I would move on. I'd do a full hard reset, trade away some of your assets, and just rebuild. But that's not what's gonna happen. You know, they're gonna come right back and do the same exact thing next year. I can guarantee it.
So is he still a Hall of Fame coach in your eyes?
Yeah, listen. Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. I don't know who was in there and what their, you know, as coaches, what it looks like, right? There's certainly, I don't want to dismiss everything, right? It's important to have winning seasons and to be in the playoffs and stuff like that. I think that should be recognized. Having said that, in order to, in my opinion, to be in the Hall of Fame, you got to win multiple Super Bowls. So he's won one, hasn't really been back. There, so you know, I think he probably is a Hall of Fame, but not like, he's not like Belichick, if that's what you're getting at. Belichick's the first ballot Hall of Fame coach. Tomlin, on the other hand, he probably deserves to be in there, but they're not on the same playing field or same level.
No, I'm not doing a comparison. I'm just saying, you know, is not having a regular season losing record the same as always being one and done in the playoffs, or having a really good defense in the regular season but having a really bad defense in the playoffs? Because, you know, Jacksonville, this is, I'm looking at the playoffs from the last 5 years. 2017, Jacksonville, 45 points. 2020, Browns, 48 points. 2021, the Chiefs, 42 points. 2023, Bills, 31 points. And now with the Ravens, 28. And I feel like the Ravens kind of
took their foot off the gas.
Yes. I feel like, I don't know if it was out of respect or I don't know what. I mean, 50 rushing attempts is a lot, but at the same time, I feel like they could have, you know, there was opportunities for them to run up the score.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, we can say here that it's all the coordinator's fault. Terrell Austin, he needs to be fired. He will be fired. But at what point do you realize, like, hey, we've had multiple coordinators, offense and defense. We know Collins has his thumb on both sides, especially on the defensive side. You know, he is basically the one, I don't want to say he's the one calling the defense, but he has his footprint all over that defense. And like you said, in the playoffs, no excuses this year, right? Most of the guys were healthy at this point. Those are the results. They are what they are. And what can you do? He fires Austin, he brings somebody else, and Tom is still running the defense. So that's what I'm saying. Nothing's going to change. It doesn't matter who you bring in. If he's still making all the decisions around coordinating, coaching, GM, right, general manager, as far as who to bring in, it is what it is. It kind of reminds me a lot of like what happened with the Patriots and Belichick. And I've been talking to a few people. My cousin's like, oh, you know, they just need to cut some of his power from him. I've seen that with the Patriots. That doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
You can't take away some control. You just need to make a clean break.
You just need to break loose.
Yeah, and start over. So Rooney's not willing to do that, at least not this year, it doesn't seem like. But it is, you know, the noise is getting loud now, right? It's not just the local media expressing their frustration for the past 3 or 4 years. It's now the national media saying, wait, let me take another look at this.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Tomlin is not as good, you know, as we think he is. And maybe I need to start listening to the fans and the local media about what's really going on. Because, you know, I've seen a lot of statistics too. If you put his numbers against some other coaches, there's been tons of coaches fired for less. You know, for way less. So, you know, there's no excuse. And listen, Tomlin is, I think he's a good people person. Players like him. But, you know, he can't motivate them. He's no longer able to motivate them. to compete at the highest level in the games that matter the most. And he certainly was never an X's and O's guy. And, you know, the folks that he's brought in to coordinate, to be his coaches, have, you know, they've come and gone without having opportunities elsewhere either. It's not like Tomlin has a coaching tree. That should tell you that he's not bringing in the right guys. So
let's talk about our predictions, because all these games are really, 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 really good. So let's start with the Saturday games. Houston at Kansas City. The spread is 7.5 for Kansas City. The over and under is 41.5. Ron, what's your prediction?
I got Kansas City winning this one 24-17, but if there was ever a game that there would be an upset, this would be it, right? You got your quarterback who didn't necessarily have a MVP type season. It's probably worst season the entire year.
I don't think he even made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, didn't make the Pro Bowl. Hasn't played since Christmas. Like, today is what? The 6th? What's today's day? I mean, how many days has that been since he's last played?
It's 20 days.
Yeah, exactly. So how much rust will there be? Not enough for me to pick Houston to win. I'm still sticking with Kansas City. I still don't fully trust C.J. Stroud just yet. It's not going to be like last week where they're playing in front of their own home crowd. So they're playing in Kansas City. So I don't think Houston's going to have enough to win. Give me Kansas City 24-17.
Yeah, I got Kansas City winning as well. C.J. Stroud on the road with that offensive line. I know Mixon has been playing out of his mind, but I don't think that they have enough. At least, not in my opinion, I don't think they have enough. I think Andy Reid is going to be ready. This is technically, he's been prepping for this game for 3 weeks. I think that they're going to come out guns blazing. Not so much the defense, but I think the defense is going to be, you know, doing what they usually does, carry them through the whole season. So why not in the playoffs? So yeah, I pick Kansas City to win. The next game, Detroit. The spread is 9.5 points. The over and under is 55.5. Ron, what's your prediction?
That's a big spread here, right? Kind of surprising considering Washington's playing so well. Jaden Daniels has looked great. I think Detroit is arguably the best team in the NFL, though, along with Philly. So I don't think they're going to be shell-shocked or not prepared. They got the experience. They've been in the playoffs before. That offense is explosive. They can beat you any number of ways. Montgomery appears to be back now, a full participant today in practice. Give me the Lions 31-24.
Yeah, the Lions are my Super Bowl pick, so I can't go against them. I have them winning 28-21. Yes, the spread is kind of high, but I don't know if there's something about the defense that they didn't like from like playing Tampa Bay. I think that Detroit at home in the dome, they're gonna figure it out how to spread the ball. I think Daniels has a real good game. I don't think it's enough points for them to win. So I have Detroit winning 28-21. For some reason, I don't know why Washington. I thought Washington was playing Philadelphia, but it is Detroit. LA Rams at Philadelphia. Spread is 6 points. 43.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, I think Philly's going to win. It's just a matter of like how close it's going to be. I have them not covering that 6-point spread. So I got Philly winning 26-24. Rams have had a great season. I gave them credit for how they played last week. Their defense looked much better this season. Stafford looks like a really, you know, he's doing his thing out there, but he's not this. He still can't move around and stuff like that. And the pressure, I think, Philly's going to be able to put on him. Cold weather game two in Philadelphia. Give me, you know, I think Philly's going to close them out. I think they can get, you know, maybe I'm giving the Rams too many points, keeping it too close. But, you know, 26-24 is my prediction for now.
Yeah, I think that spread was high, but I have Philly winning 24-21. I don't even know if the Rams scored 21 points, to be honest with you. I think that they scored
less.
That's
what I'm worried about, yeah.
Because the defense, I think close to Kansas City, this might be the second best, maybe even tied with Kansas City as the best defense in the NFL that's still playing. So, yeah, give me Philadelphia to win this game. Last game on the docket, Sunday night, Baltimore at Buffalo. Baltimore is favored by 1 point. 51.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, I went back and forth with this one. So beginning of the season, I had Baltimore making it to the Super Bowl. Last week when we, or maybe 2 weeks ago now, when we talked about it, I thought the Bills had the best path to get there. So this is going to be an amazing game, you know, and I think the winner of this game could, you know, will be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. I'm going to stick with how I felt last week and say Buffalo is going to win this one 27-24. I think Josh Daniels, you know, I think he's going to do his thing. Lamar has done his thing all season as well. It's probably the MVP favorite at this point. But I think Josh, the running game from James Cook, you know, Josh, the Bills will find a way to do it up in Buffalo.
Yeah, I, you know, I'm changing the score, but not the winner of the game. I'm going Baltimore 28-27. I think that Buffalo does score, but I mean, Baltimore has Derrick Henry. If he gets going with that defense that Buffalo has, it's very suspect. I know they got Von Miller back, and I know they got another player back, but to me, they're still very suspect, and I just think like Baltimore has too many weapons. Way too many weapons. Now, I don't know if when things get tough, what Harbaugh's going to do, whether it's going to be let Lamar do his thing or whether he's going to go Derrick Henry. I don't know. It remains to be seen. I know when the tough gets going with Buffalo, they just turn to Josh Allen, right? But I want to see what happens overall. I want to see what the vibe is. I'm really excited about this game because this is basically the two best offenses left, right? So
I would put Detroit up there too, but yeah.
Yeah, I put Detroit up there too as well. But in the AFC, this is the cream of the cream, right? This is what you want to see. It's too bad we don't get the AFC championship game. That would be phenomenal, but I'll take it. Playoff football, Baltimore and Buffalo, I'll take it. So I got Baltimore winning 28-27. I'm going to go by the spread and say that they win by 1 point.
All right. Any of these games you feel confident enough to put some money down? I know we've both been doing some hard rock betting these past couple weeks. I can tell you I've been horrible these last couple weeks. But you seem to...
I think I came out even last weekend. I did like 7 or 8 bets on players to score first, and I only hit on 2 of them. So and I basically got my money back that I put in down. So I don't this maybe Kansas City, Houston is the only one that kind of jumps out at me. Every other game, I think that's going to be tight. Even the Washington Detroit game, I think that's going to be tight.
Yeah, tighter than that spread. Yeah. That's the one that jumps out to me. But listen, I thought Denver would keep it close. And they had a similar spread beginning of that game, and Buffalo ended up blowing them out. So you just never know. You don't know. I think Vegas knows, but obviously, if they think Detroit's gonna, seemingly handle them, the Commanders pretty easily, I imagine that's what's gonna happen.
I mean, I would take the under on the Washington Detroit. I think that game is not gonna be 55 points. But every other team, I don't know. It's like every other game, they could hit that number. That's the only one that I'm like, maybe I'll take the money line on the Kansas City and take the over and under on the Detroit game. But every other game, I think is gonna be tight. So Ron, are you done with the Steelers? You're just gonna wait and see what they do this offseason?
Yeah, I'm not committing just yet, but I'm waiting. I'm taking a wait and see approach. There's some things I want to see this offseason. Some things I know that's not going to happen. Like, it's important for Najee. He's one of my favorite players, for him to resign. I don't see that happening. He wants to be out of there. I think he wants to go to the Raiders, his hometown. So I don't see that's going to be a disappointment in itself. And, I want to see if Colin is really willing to make any significant changes, not just about bringing other people, other puppets in. Like, what's he going to do with the quarterback position? He's really going to bring Wilson back? Is he going to bring Fields back? He's going to keep paying
rethreads?
Rethreads. Like, I want to see what direction that they're heading in. I want to see what they do in the draft. But it's going to be hard to leave. 38 years, I think, Steelers fan. I feel like I'm coming to that point now where I've seen enough. They're not doing enough. The standard's no longer the same. Why not? This might be the best time to try to find a different team to root for.
Yeah, but you're still going to go up north to the Patriots-Steelers game, right? I mean, you're not abandoning them just yet.
We'll see. I'm not committing to anything yet.
I'm excited. I want to see what kind of rosters Patriots have. What is it, like $140 million to spend? I want to see every penny spent on new players.
You say that, but like, again, I was looking at the list of unrestricted free agents for 2025, and the names aren't not a lot of good names out there. T. Higgins at receiver, and then it kind of starts to fall off a cliff from there.
That's fine. They don't have to bring an A1 receiver. They just have to bring one that actually wants to play football and doesn't say, oh, I have the best hands in the league. You haven't even played one game. Like, I want to see that. I want to see that happen, right? I don't want to see all everything else. I'm excited. I want to see how the draft goes, how the free agency goes, everything. I'm really excited for.
I'm happy for you. You got a new coach. You're supposed to be excited. So, I'm happy for you for sure.
Yes, and definitely not only a new coach, but a coach with the experience. That's paramount. That's very paramount. So next week we'll have episode 117. We'll talk about the divisional games, and then we'll have our picks for the conference games. So, with that say, I say peace.
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 All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's SYMSPORTSMEDIA@gmail.com. Peace.